Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
So you can follow along as we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20 here this afternoon. I almost said morning. A little ahead of myself. That'll be tomorrow. And I don't know if you've gone by the property, but they asphalted. It's really clean looking and everything else. It's pretty awesome. No, we don't have a purple roof. Right now, if you go by, they just kind of like, you know, put up that, what is that called? Insulation. And so it's purple. It doesn't mean the roof's going to be purple, okay? Just so you know. That would be wrong. Anyway, let's go here to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Here we are finishing up with our 10th commandment here. You shall not covet. Now, I think we are so far 9 for 9 in violation of these 10 commandments. I think you're going to find out that after tonight that we're going to be 10 for 10 in the way how we violate this on kind of a regular basis. And so verse 17 tells us here, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, before we jump into this, let me encourage all of you when I say we're all going to die. There you go. All right? Exactly. There are things that are eternal. Your salvation, your faith in Jesus, your inheritance that's incorruptible. If you were to die today knowing Jesus, you live forever in the Savior's presence. How awesome that is. And then there are things that are temporary. Well, that's everything you're looking at. Okay? It's not eternal. We covet those things that are temporary. How ridiculous. So as we go through this, just have that in mind, okay? Just have that in mind. Now, we are told to covet certain things, but those are going to be the things that are eternal, okay? So here, the word covet in the Hebrew is kamod, and it means to desire, to take pleasure in, to delight in a pleasant thing. Now, to covet is not a bad thing. It depends on what you're coveting. So here, the word kamod is also used in the positive in Psalm 19, verse 7 through 10. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be, the word desired there is the Hebrew word kamod. More to be coveted are they than gold. More than fine gold. And so, we are to covet the law, the testimony, the statutes, the judgments of the Lord. And we're to cover that more than what? Gold. Why? Because that's temporary. But the Word of God lasts forever. We should covet that. So covet is not bad if you covet the right things, those eternal things, the Word of God. However, when the Hebrew word, I love my grandson. That just grabbed me. When your kids do it, it's irritating, just so you know. But when my grandson does that, it's I love it. Love it. And so, when the Hebrew word lo, that means you shall not, that is one word, it just means no. No covet. Don't covet. When that word is attached to covet, then it always means something evil. And that's not what we are to be coveting. Okay? That is not what we are to be coveting. When it says you shall not covet, it's lo kamod. And it always means an inappropriate craving or desire to have someone or something that belongs to another. It's an evil desire to have what is not yours to have. That's temporary. Temporary thing. The word covet as a noun is covetousness. In the Hebrew, it's betzah. And it's a noun. It's used 8 times in the Old Testament. It means desire for unlawful gain. Greed, to obtain illegally. In other words, to try and possess something in an illegal manner. So, we're not to covet, to long for something, to desire something that belongs to someone else. And so, this 10th commandment has nothing to do with an outward action. It begins with the heart, the inward desire. This is really the only commandment that has nothing to do with outward action. This 10th commandment has everything to do with the heart of the matter, the issues of the heart, the desires of the heart. And this 10th commandment tells us we're not to desire anything that belongs to anyone else. That's why it goes on to describe here in this commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything in their household. Okay? Do not covet your neighbor's wife, the person who is there that is very instrumental in running the household. You are not to covet his male or female servants, those who are needed to run the household. You're not to covet his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor, meaning those things needed to run the household. Those are beasts of burden. We're not to desire those things. We're not to covet that which belongs to someone else. And this command gets expanded as you go through the Word of God to desiring anything that God does not want you to have. And it's interesting, because what it ends up showing us is that we often want the wrong thing in the wrong way at the wrong time for the wrong reason. That always has to do with the issue of the heart. Covetous is used 9 times in the New Testament. It's a Greek word, pleonoxia, and it means greedy, desire to have more, covetousness, avarice. Oh, the avarice. Anybody remember The Grinch? I love that movie. Sorry, but I do. So when the mayor is asking Martha May to marry him, and as he does it, he says, "And if you say yes, you'll get a brand new car." And then he goes and lists all these things she will get if she says yes. And in the middle of that, the Grinch goes with his finger on that brand new car and begins to scratch it with his fingernail. And it just irritates everybody, like the nails on a chalkboard, until he gets their attention. And he says, "The avarice. The avarice never ends. Gifts, gifts, gifts." And he goes on of why he hates Christmas. I love that. I love that. Because he's 100% right. And he goes on to tell him about how last Christmas stuff ends up in the garbage to him. The avarice. I want it now. I want the new thing. And a year later, they don't want it anymore. The avarice. The greed. The desire to have more. Covetousness. In other words, the meaning of covetousness expands from desiring your neighbor's stuff to where you become greedy, being avarice to acquire more than you need, being fixated on more stuff. You become very materialistic. I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. See what Jesus has to say about it. This is the parable of the rich fool. In verse 13 of Luke 12, it says, "And one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' And he said to him, 'Man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you?'" And then he gets to the heart of the matter of what this guy's really asking. "He said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" This guy thinks if his brother will just divide the inheritance with him, everything will be great. He'll be happy. Everything will be fine. Jesus says, guess what? Your life should not consist of the abundance of things you possess. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" Because it's so bountiful. "Said, 'I will do this. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there I'll store up all my crops and my goods.'" So it's not just crops, it's goods, it's stuff. So here's his dilemma. "Oh, I have too much stuff. My barns will not hold all my stuff. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? That was his dilemma. And then all of a sudden, bing, an epiphany. I know what I'll do. I'll tear those barns down, build bigger barns to hold more of my stuff. Yes! And I will say to my soul, soul, this is where you know you're losing it, you're talking to yourself. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Already does. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about himself. God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? You're a fool. All you're thinking about is the temporary. All you're thinking about is the here now. Your soul is about to be required of you. You're going to die. You're going to see your maker. Then who's going to have all your stuff? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I love this. He just hears more about loving himself, and yet he's not rich towards God. He's not mindful of things of God, of loving God and loving others. That's great that he has great possession. Hey, I have too much stuff. I don't know what to do with. How about this? How about you help out the down and out, the needy, the poor? That you give that away to make room for the next harvest that comes in. How about that? Well, no, because it's for him. It's so he could say to his soul, take your ease for many years and eat, drink, and be merry. So short-sighted. All he sees about is the here and now, and how that's going to bless himself. Nobody's guaranteed 100 years. Nobody's guaranteed 70 years. Nobody's guaranteed 30 years. We don't know when our soul, when God is going to require an account from us. We don't know when that is. But wouldn't it be great if we are fixated on him and not ourselves when he does come calling? So we can hear instead, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But this fool is only concerned with his stuff. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do well financially. Nothing wrong with wanting a house, wanting to be able to have a car that can get you from one place to another, to want to provide well for your family. There's nothing wrong about that at all. There's nothing wrong with possessions. My goodness, God himself is about to bring Israel where? Into the land of Canaan. To do what? To possess it. And as they go through and possess it, guess what? They don't have to build towns. They don't have to build houses. They don't have to create vineyards. That's already been done for them. They get to go in and possess the land. And they're going to possess things in the land. The whole reason you shall not steal is because you have possessions. If you didn't have possessions, there's nothing that could be stolen from you. So to have possessions, to be doing well financially, there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. However, if you see those possessions as nothing more than for your glory, then we have a problem. We have a problem. Nothing wrong with owning possessions. It's okay to own things. The problem of covetousness is that when they possess you, and you think that they're just for you. Peter tells us this. He says in 2 Peter 2:3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. We live in a generation and a time when we are bombarded with the philosophy of the world through advertisement of what you need. Wow. We live in an age of consumerism. You need to have more comfort in order for your life to have meaning. You need to have newer and shinier things. the smartphone that you got last year does not really compare with the smartphones that are coming out now. And so they'll show you all the bells and whistles and everything. For what reason? So you'll be discontent with what you bought last year. They're preying on your greed. Your avarice is what they're preying on. Years ago, my wife and I bought a washing machine because our other one died after about 13 years or so. And at the time, we looked at washing machines back then. Everything was basically a front loader with a circular window in the front. They said it was more efficient and does a better job of conserving water. The town of Castle Rock even gave you a $250 rebate if you bought one of these energy-saving machines. So we looked around. We thought we found one. It was white, and it was a good deal and everything, so we bought it. Everything was good until I was in Lowe's about a week later. And I care less about washers and dryers. But since we just bought one, I'm walking by the washers and dryers, and I just noticed that theirs are also on sale, and it was less money than what we paid. And theirs were colorful. Ours was white. They had different colors. They had more options. It was less than what we paid. And all of a sudden, I was feeling a little discontent. Lowe's is telling me theirs is better. Lowe's is telling me I would have been happier with a colorful washer. We can only conclude that Lowe's is from the devil. And yet, it's just a washing machine, dude. It washes your clothes. Are they getting clean? Yeah. All right. Do you think you can shake it off and not be dwelling on it? I think I can. Yeah, yeah. But everything falls in line with that. You buy a car, and then the next year, this car model comes out. Or you buy a car, and a friend of yours buys that same car, and you begin to talk, well, what did you get it for? And then you find out that they got it for a cheaper price. Oh, so discontent right now, you know. It's again, this desire to want to have the best for the best deal and all these kind of things. And the world's philosophy is clear. You deserve it. You need it. It'll make you happy. You can charge it. You can put it down on credit. You can have no payment, deferred payments, no interest for 6 months or a year. What are they trying to get you to do? They want you to covet it, and they want you to get it now, even though you really can't afford it. Even though it's going to require you levering yourself up to your eyeballs. The covetousness is a belief that life does consist in the abundance of possessions, but that's exactly what Jesus says it does not. iPads, laptops, cell phones, biggest consumer targets in our lives. And yet, the world tells us that we are kind of what we wear, what we portray, what we drive, where we live, how you identify yourself. But when you look at all those things, those are outward things. It's a facade. It's a facade. Facade is the front of a building. A facade is a front. It's deceiving because it doesn't really tell you what's on the inside. And we're so desperate to put up these fronts, to have all these worldly blessings. So people will think, hey, you're doing pretty good. Nice car, must be doing well. Hey, nice clothes, you have style. Hey, nice iPad, cell phone, you must be very techno-savvy. And so, advertiser, marketers, they're counting on you coveting your neighbor's goods, seeing what they have, so you could have it as well. It's interesting because when it comes to vehicles, a vehicle will catch my eye, and I go, "Oh man, I really like that," you know. And it gets you thinking, "I wonder how much that is, and I wonder if I could afford that," you know, all that kind of stuff. I have really high taste, so the answer is always no, you can't afford that. According to the data released by the Federal Reserve, credit card balances in the first quarter of 2024 was $1.12 trillion. That's just 6 months ago. The average household has over $10,000 of credit card debt at an average of 22% interest rate. Why so much debt? I would say the majority, not all of it. Sometimes you find yourself in a position that sometimes you have to do certain things. But I would say the majority of this is because we covet and we want, and yet God is telling us we should not have. And yet we get it anyway. There's nothing wrong with having money or having wealth. Money is a great slave. It's a horrible master. If you're up in your eyeballs in debt, then it is a master and you are its slave, and it's brutal and it's cruel. It's one of the reasons why we do Dave Ramsey's financial piece here at this church, so you can find how to get out of debt and be living the way that God has called you to live. And if you're upside down like that, I really encourage you to take that when we offer it next. And I'm not exactly sure where that'll be, but I'm pretty sure if it's not in the fall, it will definitely be in the wintertime. So just be on the lookout for that. Again, the first nine commandments focus more on things we do. The tenth deals straight to the heart. And remember this, not all desires are sinful. The desire to eat when you're hungry, the desire to have something useful motivates us to work. The desire for intimacy will drive us to marriage. But like anything else about us, our desires are corrupted by sin. So now we desire the wrong things at the wrong time and the wrong way for the wrong reasons. You might covet intimacy, a sexual relationship. That desire is not wrong. The way you go about it might be wrong. To have sex outside of marriage, to covet the wrong thing, wrong time, wrong way, wrong reason. You might have a desire to have a larger house. Well, why? Well, because when we bought this house, it was 2-bedroom and we had 1 kid. Now we have 7. Understood. I get it. You know? And so that desire is not wrong. But to leverage yourself, to make it happen, to buy something that you really can't afford, that's not from God. But to pray that a larger house might come available that you can afford, God might say it's coming, but it's 2 years away because you have to save a little bit more. And I also know interest rates are going to come down in 2 years and it'll be better for you. And so, yes, just be godliness with contentment is great gain. And we'll see that here in a moment. Be content in that 2-bedroom house with your 7 kids. But watch what God does. In Proverbs 16:1, it says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. It's his timing. There's nothing wrong to prepare and plan for something and then waiting on the Lord for him to answer when to move, when to go. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Plan it. Everything's ready to go. You're just waiting to hear from the Lord. And then when you hear from the Lord, watch how he opens the door and then walk that way. Walk that way. The difference about this 10th commandment is that it starts on the inside. God wants inward obedience as well as outward obedience. That's why we're to take every thought captive. Because we think things we shouldn't think and go, oh my goodness, where'd that come from? Michael Horton, a professor of theology and apologetics at Westminster in California, said, a rabbi once said to him, you know, one of the greatest differences between our two religions is the idea that you're committing a sin just by desiring or thinking it. We believe you have to actually commit the physical act before it really is sin. Otherwise, we'd be sinning all the time. Yeah, that's kind of the point. That's why Jeremiah would declare the heart is deceitful for all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can. Because the thoughts flow from the heart. Martin Luther said, this commandment more than any other convinces us we are sinners. It does this for the gracious purpose of showing us that we need a Savior. I mean, years and years ago, before I came to know the Lord, when someone wanted to tell me that I was a sinner and then began to explain to me, what about your thought life? It was kind of like, oh yeah, guilty. Yeah, you just nailed me there. Yeah, obviously there's something whack with me because I think all sorts of things that aren't correct. Even without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew at the time that some of the things that I thought or the anger or, you know, what I really wanted to do to an enemy was wrong. No, it was very obvious. Very obvious. From the holy love
of God, we will meet. That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. Fall is here, which means it's time for our annual Harvest Festival. On October 31st, Calvary Castle Rock will be hosting a wonderful free event for the whole family. The night will include carnival games, inflatables, high strikers, face painting, funnel cakes, food, and of course, lots of candy. So come on out and join us from 4 to 8 p.m. October 31st. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.